This is Money Moves on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
To get into this hour, as we welcome you back to Money Moves on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network, alongside Grace Remington, Stormy Bond, and Tony with you. We're coast to coast, as always. I'm live in downtown Las Vegas, Circa Resort and Casino. Grace out there in Nashville, Tennessee. We will continue to discuss the Masters, which is ongoing now from Augusta National, a handful of marquee names that are going to be teeing off this hour, which we will dive into. Lots of Major League Baseball, NBA. Jonathan Von Tobel going to join us coming up in 30 minutes. We're going to play a fun prop betting game of might this be something you're interested in coming up in 15 minutes as well. So keep it locked right here. So much to get to this hour. We're going to start in Major League Baseball, though, Grace, because we do have two games where we'll have first pitch coming up in the next 10, 15 minutes or so. White Sox, Guardians, Angels, and Rays. And let's start out there in Cleveland, where we've got Gavin Williams on the hill against Jonathan Cannon. Cleveland, big favorite here. Bet out to an even bigger favorite, open minus 218, now minus 250. White Sox plus 205 dog. Run total on this one sitting 7.5. It bounced down to 7 for a second, but we're seeing 7.5s back out there again. White Sox just trying to rebound. They had what was a good start to the season. They're 2-2. They're feeling good. And then they have just fallen apart down the stretch. Even yesterday, when they have a chance to tie the game in the ninth, you're rounding third base and hamstring injury makes it so you can't score that run, and it's just a brutal start for the White Sox here to the season. But how do you see their chances coming up today?
Yeah, brutal for them. The injury bug really came out to play, because it wasn't even just Tauchman. Andrew Benintendi's now on the 10-day IL. Yeah. Corey Lee suffered an ankle injury. He's on the 10-day IL. And I thought, like, Benintendi said a lot. He said, oh, I could have played for a few more days, but seeing where we're at this point in the season, it's better to rest. I was like, buddy, you've played 10 games. Like, we're really giving up now. So, yeah, they are, but I guess we all kind of knew that. So for this game, though, I don't like the side or the total. I like a prop here. We're going to go with Sox pitcher Jonathan Cannon over 3.5 strikeouts. And make sure you shop around for this one, because right now the over is minus 135 on DraftKings. It's minus 113 on FanDuel. So I will be playing this as soon as I get off camera, but I have him projected at 4.4 strikeouts, a 63% chance of going over, which means the over should be priced at minus 173. It's at minus 113 on FanDuel, so that's a pretty hefty edge. Cleveland strikes out at one of the highest rates in the league, 25%. Cannon is not a high strikeout guy, but he is getting more whiffs on his cutter and his changeup this year, and he's also throwing those two pitches more. And then he went over this line of 3.5 17 out of 23 times last season. So Jonathan Cannon over 3.5 strikeouts.
Okay, that game about to get underway, as is Angels and Rays. The Rays, a minus 125 home favorite. And we've seen the Angels get played a little bit here with that down from around the minus 148, minus 150 range. Angels, for all the talk about how bad they're supposed to be, actually off to a pretty good start here. 7-4 to start the year. Had a 3-game win streak snapped by the Rays yesterday in that close 5-4 loss. I mentioned earlier, I do like them as a short dog today. I know you leaned the other side, but I really like the pitching advantage here, albeit slight, for Jose Soriano in this one with the Angels. I think he's a good ground ball pitcher, has had success against this lineup before, and maybe he can get them a dub as a short dog today.
I do like Soriano generally. I actually think he's due for some negative regression here. I lean to the over 8 if that's available, and I'm checking now. The Rays are down to minus 115 on the money line. That makes me feel like I'm missing something, but I would actually fire on them now. But you have both pitchers here coming off losses.
Where's that at?
Soriano,
is that at FanDuel?
This is, hold on, let me, I see
DraftKings
one at Bally.
DraftKings does is minus 125.
Minus 114 at Bally, minus 115 at ESPN Bet, minus 116 at FanDuel. So you got some options.
Okay.
But I mean, there's a lot of minus 120s too. I mean, maybe people are just really high on the Angels these days. But Soriano, I feel like he could get worse. It's the sinker. It has a 286 weighted on base average, but a 365 expected weighted on base average. So when you see a big difference in the actual and expected metrics, you know, that means what you're seeing is not the standard. It's going to get worse. The velo is down over a mile an hour, but it's the pitch he throws the most, 58% of the time. So if that's going to get worse, you know, don't feel great about him. I also lean Tampa Bay because they have the better bullpen. I think Zach Little is a little bit more trustworthy. His walk rate has been really good. He's among the top 5% of starters. So yeah, I'll go Rays minus 114 here.
He has a high fly ball rate and I think could be due to give up some homers. So I don't know. Again, I'm on the Angels today. I completely understand a lot of the things that you're saying. That's just the way that I did it today. And the numbers, whenever they are going in that direction, I can never tell if it's a good thing or a bad thing. So we shall see. Those are the two games that are about to get underway here. Quick update, though, on the Masters and a handful of golfers who have yet to have their tee time but will be getting underway this hour. Rory McIlroy, who we know is among the favorites. Scottie Scheffler was your top favorite, and then Rory before the odds got longer. So he, Ludvig Åberg, and Akshay Bhatia all teeing off together at 1:12 Pacific. You got Hideki Matsuyama, Bryson DeChambeau, Shane Lowry. Lowry, another guy who I'm invested in, top 20 and an outright at 45-1. They're at 123. And then at 134 this afternoon, John Rahm, Wyndham Clark, Tommy Fleetwood, the father of the now famous Frankie Fleetwood, very important mention there. they are getting underway at 134 as well. But any of those golfers that I just mentioned, so I have investment in Rory and Shane. Ludvig obviously came in second last year. What kind of performance can he put together this year? Any of those big name guys who have yet to tee off that you are intrigued by?
I'm intrigued by Bryson. I think a lot of people like writing him off. I didn't play him in any of the betting markets, but I have him in quite a few of my DFS lineups. Just it's kind of a contrarian move. But he finished tied for six here last year using the 3D printed irons. He ended up picking up 7.3 strokes off the tee, which is huge. But he's played in six events in 2025. He has two top five finishes. The rest are top 20. He's always going to be a high floor guy with the driver. The putting is where it's a concern for him. He's lost putting on three of his five live tournaments this year. But if everything goes, you know, if everything goes right for him, which, you know, is an ask for anyone, he's always live. He's always live to win it. So I'm excited for him. John Rahm, I'm also excited for. I have him in a lot of my DFS lineups. He has not finished below top 10 in any of his events since July. So he's coming in great form. The putter is heating up. He gained 2.5 strokes putting at LIV Miami. He gained 2.3 strokes putting at LIV Singapore. He has five top 10 finishes, including three top fives and a win here in 2023. So great course history. So excited for him as well. And then Shane Lowry, you mentioned him. I have him in some of my DFS lineups as well. He hasn't lost strokes tee to green in 10 months, which that's probably the most important metric here. So lots of good ones coming up in this next hour.
Lowry is still available at 35-1. So you can tell he's been bet down. I got him at 45-1. Then it was 42-1. Now seeing 35 on DraftKings, John Rahm and Bryson DeChambeau, who you mentioned, 14-1 on the odds board. But the top five and top 10 numbers a little bit skewed here. Rahm top five plus 250 compared to Bryson 3-1, and Rahm top 10 plus 115, DeChambeau plus 140. So if you do like any of those alternate markets for DeChambeau, even though he and John Rahm are priced the same in the outright market, you're getting better numbers at least for DeChambeau to be in there. We do have a new leader on the leaderboard after Steven Yeager double bogeys 13 to fall to 2 under. Scottie Scheffler, Hatton, Justin Rose all tied at 3 under. Scheffler and Hatton through 9. Justin Rose just through 4, so a long way to go. But now Colin Morikawa with some of that movement, although he is still 1 under, now tied for 12 instead of 10th, so making my bet a little bit more dicey as the day goes on. Come on, let's do something on the back nine, will you please? I do want to ask you, and I know we touched on this a little bit yesterday, the LIV guys. I know there is, for a lot of people, this like questioning the mentality because of the amount of money that these guys make and because they're not playing on tour every single week. what is their mentality coming in? How much do they really care? I am of the mindset that at the end of the day, it's still the Masters. It's still the biggest event that you can ask to be a part of in golf. So you're going to care. But like, what is the form like? What is your mentality as a day-to-day golf professional, knowing that your life essentially is so different now and you're set and you have this generational wealth and your circumstances are different?
Honestly, like you said, it's the Masters. If you're not excited to play in like the most highly regarded tournament of all time in the history of golf, like what are you even doing? And at that point too, when you are making that generational type of wealth, like this is what it's all about now, is your legacy and winning the green jacket. So like, I really don't question their motivation at all. For me, when I was looking at guys, like you can look at their past history here. You can look at where they have succeeded and how that course relates to Augusta National. But then also when I'm using some of the models I do, you just weight the strokes. And because the competition is different. It's not like their form that's changing, it's the guys they're competing against. So it's just their metrics might be a little skewed, but you just weight it differently in the model. And that's how I get my guys. So I'm really not too worried. For me, where it really works out is in DFS, or if you're playing in like an office pool, something like that, because people want to shy away from the live golfers, or they just straight up don't like them because of the whole loyalty thing. That's more where you would have an edge, I think.
Yeah, and worth noting, at the end of round one, we're going to have previews for round two, recaps of the action early up on VSiN.com. Our summer special right now, $59 for all of our content now through August 1st at VSiN.com/subscribe.
You're watching Money Moves here on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Horse racing fans, get ready. VSiN at the Track, the road to the Kentucky Derby, is live tomorrow and every Friday leading up to the Triple Crown, with key Derby races coming up this weekend. We're breaking down the top contenders for this year's run for the Roses. Join our guys, Mike Somich and Aaron Halterman, tomorrow at 2:10 Eastern on the VSiN YouTube channel and at VSiN Live on X for all the expert analysis and insights ahead of the weekend. Don't miss it. VSiN at the Track tomorrow, streaming live 2:10 Eastern as we countdown to the Triple Crown. Well, ladies and gentlemen, the music is rolling because we're about to have a little fun. It is well known that our producer here on Money Moves, Brian Ortega, is a television and film aficionado. Last week, we tried this segment for the first time. We had so much fun. We have to bring it back. For anyone who has watched the show Entourage in depth, you know there's a character that comes in for a brief stint that asks questions in the framework of, what if I told you this movie could make you $1 million and get you an Oscar? Is that something you might be interested in? And so he does stuff like that, and then a bunch of other characters start asking questions that way, and it's become a whole fun thing. So now we've made it a whole fun thing where Brian is going to basically play that salesman and ask us about certain props in the market. Unfortunately, we don't have his voice recording system down yet, so I will be pretending to be Brian in this scenario. So let's get it started here.
Ooh,
Grace.
The voice
possible
change.
Betting ticket number one. What if I told you? No, he doesn't even talk like that. I'm going to tell a lot about Brian here real quickly. He has this cool TikTok and like podcast. He does all this stuff. Concierge Confidential. He has a great podcasting radio voice, and he's been on our show a handful of times. So if you are an avid listener, you've heard him. We should actually get this recorded or have you pipe in Kelly Bidlin style. We'll work on this later. Possible betting ticket number one, Grace. What if I told you Alex Ovechkin was going to score his 900th career goal this regular season, and the price at FanDuel was 8-1, bet $10 to win 80. Is that something you might be interested in with five games to go?
So he needs five goals in five games. I feel like he can do that. Although, like, what's the mentality of this team? Because for a while, they were very pro Ovi, let's get him the record. Now they have to refocus on the playoffs and getting into playoff form. I'm interested. Oh, fine. I'm interested.
you're interested, maybe like a sprinkle interest. It's not going to be like sure. Let's not put a full unit. Let's not even put a half a unit, but just a little baby.
Yeah, I like that.
Because why not? I know why nots are saved for Wednesdays, but yes, that's something I might be interested in. But I do agree, and that's
why
something
not
the team
can be a recurring theme,
right? The team has come out and said that kind of already, that the mentality now that Ovi has the record, and granted it's always been there lingering in the background, although the defense certainly hasn't played like it, is that now they are full steam ahead for the postseason. So I could see it happening just because Ovi is a freak of nature. But again, he doesn't have the need to do that, and they're pretty set in a good spot when it comes to the postseason. Okay, let's go to the NBA. What if I told you, Grace, that Anthony Edwards' points prop tonight against the Grizzlies is 29.5 at just a -105 price? And while on the season, he's averaging 27.5 points. He's gone over this number in two of the last four games, and his last meeting with Memphis dropped 32. Is that something you might be interested in?
So I'm looking at how many times has he scored 30 points in his career. 90 times out of 378 career games, I believe it is, which comes out to 24%. So a fourth of the time he's done it. He's facing the Grizzlies, which season long, they've ranked 11th in defensive rating. But in the last month, they've actually fallen off a bit. They now rank 17th in defensive rating. Since March 1st. Considering everything that's on the line, your best player has to go off. So, sure, I'd be interested in this.
Bing bong. Regardless of what way you feel about Anthony Edwards, going to be a super fun game tonight. We have seen a flip of favorites in this one. Memphis opened a 1-point favorite. Now they're getting 2 at home in this spot against the Timberwolves. I'm on Minnesota money line. Total in this one, 231. We've seen some money come in on the under. Sticking with the NBA. While everybody's been talking about the Celtics and Thunder, who wants a +180 payout for that to be your finals matchup? Boring, but consider this. The exact finalist market for the NBA Finals has the Cavaliers, who are going to be the one seed in the East, against the Lakers, who have two of the best players on planet Earth in the finals at 20-1. Is that something you might be interested in?
All right, so there's a couple angles you could look at this. First, can the Cavs beat the Celtics? I think you can make an argument, maybe in 6 or 7 games. The Lakers, sure, they can get there too. I mean, there's still a risk they could end up in the play-in, I believe. So that's not even final yet. But the way I'm looking at this is price point. So I'm just going at DraftKings. I didn't have time to shop around for the best odds. But Western Conference winner odds for the Lakers, +650. Eastern Conference winner odds for the Cavs, +200. You throw those in a parlay calculator over at VSiN.com. It comes out to +2150 odds. The book is giving us 20-1 odds, so they're skimping us. Brian, you are skimping us on the price.
Brian,
boo!
How dare you?
So no, I'm not interested.
How dare you do us like that? Thank you, Grace, for being our little mathematician today. Yes, we were wearing green in honor of the Masters getting underway today, but it's also very well known we're Wicked fans on this network and big Elphaba fans in particular. I love that Brian put this in as one of his sales pitches. We were devastated. Wicked did not get more love at the Oscars this year, but good news, fans. There's a part two, Wicked for Good, to win Best Picture at the 98th Academy Awards coming up next year. Is it 25-1? Do you think the Academy learned their lesson doing them dirty in the first iteration of Wicked that you might be interested in round two? Thoughts?
I am absolutely interested, and the Academy did do them dirty. Come on, people. Okay, here's what we got coming up in part two. As Long as You're Mine, beautiful, beautiful duet between Cynthia Erivo and Jonathan Bailey. No Good Deed. If you liked The Wizard and I or Defying Gravity, you will be obsessed with the song. It's when she officially becomes evil. For Good will be just a stunning duet between Ariana and Cynthia. I'm gonna cry my eyes out, I already know. And they're writing original songs too. We have an original song for Glinda, an original song for Elphaba. We're also going to get some more special effects. I won't spoil it, even though the play has been out for 25 years, but we need a lion that can talk. We need a Tin Man. We need a Scarecrow. We need someone to melt. There's also going to be some drama. They're going to play Are You the Father? Someone's going to die. And I just feel like all that drama is enough for the character development and just getting all types of different fans in for them to finally win this. And also, director Chanchu, he has to justify splitting this up into two separate films, right? He said there was so much they couldn't cut for the sake of the story that they had to split it up. So if it's really that good, and it has to win the award, right?
Elekanam, enam, enatuma, tuma, elekanam, and that's me doing witchcraft and wizardry. That's us setting the tone for this movie to win. I'm doing the spell to make the 25-1 happen. So, yes, that's absolutely something I could be interested in. Let's get back to Major League Baseball now. Vladimir Guerrero Jr. signed the big contract earlier this week. 14 years, $500 million, no deferrals. Life is good. And since putting pen to paper, has gone 5-for-13 at the plate with 2 runs and a walk, had 3 hits and a run yesterday against Boston. What if I told you the over 1.5 hits today against the Red Sox for Vladdy is +145? Is that something you might be interested in?
At +145, sure. I mean, I'll be honest here. I am not a batter's prop better. I do lots of pitching props. He's facing Walker Buehler. I don't think they've faced each other in the last 3 years. But at that price, sure.
Okay,
why not?
I got one fun one that I want to throw at you last 90 seconds, because I don't know about you, but I get bothered badly when I am reading articles online and different things, and I just see the pop-up video, pop-up this. It really, ugh. And so, could you be interested in, like, a service that would eliminate pop-ups? It would be like a pay-for service that you could just use the internet scot-free and have no pop-ups exist. I don't know what the price point is yet. I'm an idea man, Grace. But is that something that you would be interested in?
First of all, yes. And I don't think the creator of that business would even have to do a high price point. If you charge someone like $5 a month and they just do it recurring on their credit card, they're going to end up paying you $5 a month for the rest of time. Because no one likes being annoyed by those little pop-ups. And think about the productivity you could have if you're not constantly clicking the little X. So
for real.
I am interested in your business. Can I have a little share in it? Can we just, can this be a joint venture?
You got to be an investor, you know, so that's where we got to start. But here's the thing.
Golf long shots and then I'll invest.
That's what we're talking about. But this is one of those things where it's like, sure, started at $5. You could continue to upsell me for years and I would keep paying it because it's the worst experience ever and I don't want it anymore. So please help us out. Any engineers out there, we have AI, we have ChatGPT. Get rid of my pop-ups.
You're watching Money Moves here on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Slate today in the NBA before we see every team in the league in action coming up Friday. Lots in the air today, though, in the standings. Minnesota Memphis will be interesting. Both the Knicks and Cavs sitting several key rotation players. So to help us break down everything that is to come, excited to welcome in Jonathan Von Tobel on the Progressive Guest Line, host of VSiN Primetime Weekdays here on the network, 4 to 8 Pacific, 7 to 11 Eastern. Also our senior NBA betting analyst. You can follow him on X at MeJVT. And JVT, so just real quickly before we get into today's slate, I know it's been a tough run for a while, like as a fan of the Angels and of the Clippers, but for the Angels to have a nice little start to the season, Clippers a sneaky contender in the Western Conference. Are we happy? Are the vibes up right now?
Absolutely not. I feel like you're actually doing this on purpose. I yelled at Tim about this yesterday because he wanted me to be happy. And I told him, you don't understand what it's like. There's been plenty of hope all of the time with both of these teams. For the Clippers, as I like to recount the tale of me running into my bedroom when my wife was dead asleep after they beat the Suns in game one of that series 2 years ago and screaming at her about Harlebal Vulgaris and how they're all idiots and the Clippers are going to win this series, only for them the next day to find out that Kawhi Leonard was injured, or the run to the Western Conference Finals, which Kawhi got hurt in the series prior, only for them to lose and get snuffed out by the Phoenix Suns. The 3-1 bubble series in which they were up against the Denver Nuggets and ultimately blew it. I can go through disappointment after disappointment. I can go back to Chris Paul getting injured as a Los Angeles Clipper and being disheartened in another 3-1 series lead that they blew. So, no, there is absolutely no happiness until this is all said and done. And with the Angels, don't get me started. I mean, by the time we get to June, I'll tell you this right now. I think it is the end of May, early June. They have a series with the Seattle Mariners, I think it is. I will guarantee you by that time, everybody will be injured. They will be playing the Salt Lake Bees AAA lineup. They will get swept despite being like 8 games over .500, and then they will be terrible from there on out. It's a yearly occurrence. So, no, I'm not happy at all.
Okay, we will never ask you anything happy ever. Yeah, he's not even willing to get on the roller coaster. He's just fully walked away from the amusement park. Okay, another basketball question for you, because we were talking about the...
I don't know if Grace is talking to me or not, but I definitely can't hear anything, just to let you know.
Oh, okay. Not good. That is good to know.
I felt the gapping, like the chasm of silence. I was like, I feel like Grace is probably talking to me right now, but I cannot hear her.
He scared us away. That's what it is.
See, Grace is speaking. Oh, okay. You heard that one. All right, Grace, take it away. All right. We're back. Jeez.
Okay, so basically what you missed is we're never asking you anything about happiness ever again. Speaking of bitter feelings, the Nuggets right now, we've been discussing the post Malone era. They finally won last night, but how does the firings impact the way you're betting the Nuggets from here on out?
Very good reference to post Malone. I appreciate that. I would say that I don't think it impacts me too much. So Gil asked me this the other day, Grace, and my thought was like, look, if you felt a certain way about the Nuggets before and then post Malone, to use the reference one more time, like, I don't think you're really changing too much about how you feel about that, right? Like, you still have the most important piece, which is Nikola Jokic. You're going to have the best player on the floor. You're still going to be a flawed defensive team with a group that doesn't have, like, a true lockdown defender that you trust at the point of attack like they used to have in Kentavious Caldwell-Pope, who would take all those reps when he was on the team. So, like, this is still inherently that squad. The difference becomes, like, do you trust now, like, the coaching staff? Can they get wins at the margins? Can they draw up the out-of-bounds plays that Malone would be pretty good at? And I would actually say, given that their interim was actually their offensive coordinator, that you're probably still in a pretty good place there. So I'm rolling with the thought of, like, whatever I thought about the Nuggets, I am going to continue to think that of them as we head into the final stretch and into the postseason. And what I think about the Nuggets is they're a high upside offensive team with the best player on the floor and in the best player in the world, who has an injured key role player in Jamal Murray, who may or may not be available at the start of the postseason, which is a very important factor. And they're very flawed on defense and have a bench that you don't really trust. And I don't think that that team, regardless of Mike Malone's presence, or Michael Malone, I don't want him to yell at me, would be a team that I don't think has a very high ceiling in the Western Conference. So this didn't really change what I think about them. They are who we thought they were, to use that term. And I don't think that the firing, the moving around to pieces or anything like that is going to change much. And Jokic is a pro. Like, I think you guys saw the quote from him. Essentially, he was like, look, I found out before you guys, and it's a business, not my decision. We'll just do what we have to do. And I think you go from there. But I think that they're going to be fine in the sense of they are who they are right now, and nothing's going to change.
Plus 750 in the Western Conference, 17-1 on DraftKings right now to win it all. And they are in the middle of what is a very compact Western Conference, to say the least. Seeds 3 through 8, all but separated by 2.5 games right now. So it'll be interesting to see how that all plays out. And somebody in that range for the play-in in the 8 seed right now is the Minnesota Timberwolves, who are facing the Grizzlies today, where we've seen a flip of favorites in this one. Minnesota coming off that ugly fourth quarter against the Bucks. Do they bounce back today? The betting market assumes so, that they go from getting a point to now laying 2. Seen some total action on the under as well. Anything that stood out to you in this one? Do you think that the Timberwolves can bounce back?
Yeah, so I think we could double check the injury report. That's obviously, I think somebody is not playing for Memphis. It might be Ja, but I haven't committed the injury report to memory. But either way, situationally, it makes some sense that Minnesota would bounce back. That's a terrible loss. No matter what you cut it, right? We all know it's awful to be up, I think it was 94-71 in the fourth quarter, and lose in regulation by nearly 10 points. But the fact that that is now weighing so heavily in a Western Conference race, to which you noted, is very, very tight. It's unbelievable that they lost the game the way that they did. So just in terms of mental fortitude and being focused on this contest, outside of just directly competing with a team in the standings with you, you're probably going to get this bounce back because this team lost the way that they did against Milwaukee. I'd very much lead toward Minnesota here anyway. Now, you could probably wait for an in-game number if they're going to get down really early and then go in that direction. But I think the market's getting this right with this adjustment. And to me, it's going to be Minnesota. You talk about like teams like, hey, what do you think about this team? How are we going to play them? I want to go against Memphis. I don't think Memphis is that good. I think they're a flawed offensive team who stinks in half-court settings. You can look at the numbers and that would tell you that. You have a very weak point-of-attack defender in Ja Morant, who you can go after time and time again. He can be saved by Jaren Jackson Jr. and others, but I think it's a flawed team. And I think Minnesota is a very, very much a better team from a power rating standpoint, so even at full strength. If you were to tell me this is like one, like what we saw this open, Stormy, power rating-wise, I don't think that's the case. I think the gap between these two is much greater than just about a 1.5-point difference on a neutral, which is what that initial opener indicated. So I think the market's getting this right. To me, it's the Timberwolves here.
Want to get some of your baseball plays today, too, if you have any. Still four games left on the docket. You have Twins, Royals, Brewers, Rockies, Blue Jays, Red Sox, Phillies, Braves. And just going by money line prices, these games are actually pretty close, or at least expected to be. Anything you like there?
Yeah, the only bet that I had actually today is already underway. I bet the Angels first five. Soriano's got some pretty good strikeout stuff. We saw him against Cleveland last time out. I haven't seen the score, but knowing how much this team lets me down, I'm sure they're already getting blasted again like they were yesterday. But
it's 2-0. They're up. Come on.
Okay. Ooh, who scored? Because here's the thing. I don't know if you guys have watched this. Kyren Paris is the truth, my friends. Like, this kid's awesome. He went yard twice again yesterday. He's hitting over 400. I don't want to get too excited about a team that ultimately lets me down. But I do think that this team is, like, I bet over their win total, and I think that I keep telling Matt, like, they're sneaky okay. The offense is above average, and I think in an AL West that looks pretty weak outside of Texas, that they're actually going to be able to make some noise this year in respect for a team that has a win total of, like, 72, 73. But Angels are good on offense, and I think that's going to be something to watch. We're talking about totals, things like that.
Ward homered in the first, so that's what got you started. And then forgive me, I don't know how to say Shanuel. Does that sound about right?
Ground
rule double. Yeah. Oh, there you go. Beautiful. See, can always count on you there for the Angels content. Last thing before we let you go, just because there are a handful of games here on the slate, was there anything else that stood out to you on today's card or even just in the futures market right now getting ahead of the postseason set to start soon?
Yeah, if you could tell me, what's the total right now in the Knicks and Pistons game? Because I think what's going to be pretty interesting is they might meet up in the postseason. And so, it seems pretty likely that's going to be the case. And if that's true, I don't think you're really showing that much. And so this might be kind of an ugly, low-scoring game, like, by their own standards. So I think that was one that I was gravitating toward, is betting that game under the total, because I think you're going to see some pretty vanilla stuff, not trying to show too many cards when you're going to be playing each other in a playoff series in just over a week.
Good stuff. And that is that I saw the opening line yesterday, 224.5, and now for it to be up to 229. I like that angle of getting an under on a number that's gotten up maybe a little bit too high. But great stuff from you as always, JVT. I know you've got a busy day and a show later on this afternoon. So thanks for doing this, buddy.
See you guys. Thank you.
Jonathan Von Tobel, senior NBA betting analyst here at VSiN, host of VSiN Primetime, 4 to 8 Pacific, 7 to 11 Eastern. So make sure you check on that a little bit later. And, of course, follow him on X at MeJVT. A lot of interesting stuff here in the NBA, and especially with the Western Conference. I can't get over it. I'm very curious to see how ultimately those seedings are going to play out. If you want more of Jonathan or anything at VSiN, remember, in addition to VSiN.com and everything you get at the website and the live action stuff here on the network, the VSiN app is also always available, where you can watch all of the programming on demand. You can listen live to the radio portion of this thing for free. But when you're a VSiN Pro subscriber and you have the VSiN Watch app, you get access to everything, can watch stuff on your own time. So if you haven't already, make sure you download that. We are going to take our last break of the day. This show has flown. When we come back, we'll get into our best bets. It is a good start for the Angels at this spot, so hopefully my money line dog can come through. I probably should have gone JVT's angle on the first five, but here we are. A couple other bets in Major League Baseball and more coming up after this on Money Moves.
You're watching Money Moves here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
We are wrapping up this Thursday edition of Money Moves live on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network, Sirius XM channel 158, YouTube TV, iHeartRadio. Appreciate wherever you are watching or listening from for joining us today alongside Grace Remington, Stormy Bonantoni with you. Before we get into our best bets for the day, did want to just give you a quick Masters update. Shout out Colin Morikawa, the Eagle on 13. He's now tied with Scottie Scheffler and Tyrrell Hatton at 3 under to start this thing. Scheffler's through 12, Hatton through 11, and Morikawa through 13. So there we go. We have him for a top, and granted, a long way to go, but we have him for a top 10 today because we couldn't find the top 20 in the round one leader, but it's okay, and a top 10 for the tournament. So hopefully continue to just play well, par for the course. That would be good. And I'm laughing here a little bit to myself, Grace, because as our producer Brian Ortega in the commercial break, when I mentioned that to him, he said, you know, it starts on the back nine at the Masters. I instantly went to how much like the Masters broadcasters have to prep for not saying the words back nine. They have to say the second nine. It's just one of those many things about the Masters and the way that sorry, nobody can hear you, Brian, but he said patrons, not fans, because fan is short for fanatic, and they don't want to make their fans come out as fanatics. They are patrons. They are spectators. Yeah. They have so many of these different specific rules that for the broadcasters, like they want it to be regal and old class, and they regal. Back nine sounds too much like backside, and you don't want to, you know, like the just different things that they're really? Very careful with the way they choose their words, which is also why another funny thing that I was texting you guys about yesterday when we were talking about the par three contest was when Sean McDonough last year made the joke about was it Scottie Scheffler's wife, I think, right? And he said like, a little fat. The swing, not her. She's obviously very thin. And it's just, you know, one of those things where because word choice is so important and they try as hard as possible to be impeccable, it's just funny, some of those things.
Oh, man. There's got to be some more, right? Like, I know patrons is the obvious one. It reminds me of, so I'm from Northern Virginia, and there's a big rivalry between Virginia Tech and UVA, and UVA is a snobby school, and you're not allowed to call it campus. You have to call it the grounds. I feel like there's a few other places who do that, but the grounds, it's the same vibe.
I'm looking up now. I just saw an article, like things that are banned to be said, and yeah, the back nine is a big one. The driving range is known as the tournament practice facility. You don't call it the driving range. There's just a handful of those. Just it's about being judicious in your word choice as a broadcaster at the Masters.
So
just another fun little wrinkle.
Have you been practicing too?
Maybe I should be. Obviously not, because I tried to say Schwellenbach about 20 times today and I only got it out correctly that one time that I just said. So with that in mind, let's get into our best bets today presented by GBank, the official bank of VSiN. Did you end up putting anything in pocket for the afternoon today, Grace?
Honestly, I'm still a little iffy on a lot of these. They've either all moved or they're in play right now. Like I liked the Rays. I actually, you know, what could have been interesting is Angels first five and then Rays full game. Because the starting pitcher to bullpen.
I don't need that energy as somebody that has the Angels plus 110. Help me out.
Oh, you had the full game. Okay. Yeah. Never mind. All right. Never mind. You can have that one because I didn't play it. You know, I think if I need to give something out here, I think I would lean the Red Sox. They are minus, you can find a minus 115. Hold on. Sorry, I'm trying to look this up. This line has moved all over the place. And it just jumped again. Okay. Well, I'm sorry, guys. But I think Walker Buehler, he's had a tough start, but he should get better. Because you look at his numbers, at least this year, his actual ERA is above 8, but the expected ERA is 4.6. The actual FIP is above 6. The expected FIP is 3.7. So I know those expected numbers aren't great, but they're better than what he's been showing. And something I thought was interesting is over his career, his second and third time through the order are not much different than his first time through the order. And specifically last year, he got significantly better the second and third time through, which is rare. Like, that shouldn't happen, right? So I kind of feel like he should regress positively. Chris Bassitt has looked good early, allowing only one run over 12 and two-thirds innings, but he should regress toward his career average, which is an expected ERA and xFIP above four the last two seasons. Blue Jays have also hit just three home runs off of righties this season, which is the fewest in the league. So I'm leaning Boston. I'm not personally betting it, but there's just not a lot out there today.
So I did bet it. I had the Red Sox this morning, minus 112. Okay. I'm now seeing minus 135. And I think that there's a lot of belief as well for as talented as this Boston Red Sox team is, they're not going to get swept four games at home by this Blue Jays team. And so I think there's that. I agree with everything you said about Walker Buehler. It's been a rough start for him to start the season, but we've also seen, at least trend wise here early in the season, a lot of pitchers that have had like a rough start one and two. Start three is kind of the one where they start to figure things out a little bit better. Like, he is not a, 8.68 ERA guy with opposing batters hitting 350. That's just not who Walker Buehler is. So I like the Red Sox today in this spot. I also took Rafael Devers over 1.5 total bases at plus 125. After the 0-for-19 start to the season, his first five games, he's now got 13 hits, 8 RBI, 5 doubles, and a home run since. 2 doubles yesterday, 7 hits the last 4 games. I don't think it's a stretch for him to get on base twice or extra bases once. I think that over 1.5 at that plus price is decent. A couple other bets that I have today, that's all in baseball, but in the NHL, we mentioned this earlier when Jonathan Davis was on the program, in this Bruins Blackhawks game, I do have David Pastrnak over 1.5 points in this one. Plus 128 was the price I got. For as bad as this year has gone for the Bruins, and even lately it's been bad, the last handful of games they have been scoring, and a big part of that is the play of Pasta. Multi-point games in 4 of his last 5, 3-plus points in 3 straight, had a 5-point night the other night, 3 goals and 2 assists against Carolina on Saturday. He has 46 points his last 30 games. JD mentioned he's been involved in 47% of the goals scored for the Bruins this year. JD's actually laddering him for not only 2-plus points, but 3-plus points. He likes him for an anytime goal today. It's funny to say playing it safe for someone to have a multi-point game, but I do think I'm taking the safer approach on just the loan over 1.5 points. And then in Sabres Blue Jackets, I'm taking the over 6.5, paid a little bit of a tax at minus 115. And I mentioned this earlier too, Grace, the Sabres are just a team that cracks me up this time of year. They have a terrible season. It's all falling apart. And then you know what? When nothing else is in play anymore, that's when we're going to win games. That's when we're going to score a ton of goals. They've won 8 of their last 9. They're averaging 4.89 goals per game in that time. 6 of the last 9 games have gone to the over. Blue Jackets, meanwhile, allowing a lot of goals. They've given up an average of 4.5 goals per game their last 9. But they can score, especially at home. Had 5 goals against Ottawa on Tuesday, 3 versus Colorado, 8 versus Nashville, 7 versus Vancouver. I contemplated the Sabres team total over 2.5, but it was just juiced to high heaven. And I think you lose the perceived value on the over 3.5. So I think just knowing that Buffalo can score and that Columbus is very capable at home, the over 6.5 felt like the play to me full game. I'm trying to look out if there's anything else on the card that I might have
Sabres
interest in.
Take.
Yeah, it's just what they do. It's so bizarre. Best bets,
a lot
again,
of the time.
Go ahead.
If they're not built to go deep, then that time of the year, it's just like, oh, the pressure's off. Now I can just pad my stats.
Yeah, another one of the bets that Jonathan Davis had too was Tage Thompson for an anytime goal, and I think that I might end up tailing him on that as well. Oh, I forgot. I did throw in Timberwolves money line minus 120. A lot of the breakdown that Jonathan Von Tobel had, he's way smarter than me when it comes to the NBA, and I agree with it throughout. I feel like they are poised to bounce back and are just the better team in this spot. I didn't lay, it was -1.5 when I looked at it earlier. It's -2 now. I feel like the money line is just the safer play at a relatively cheap price. Best bets, again, presented by GBank, the official bank of VSIN, and our GBank Visa signature card. New customers, you spend $1,000 on eligible purchases within 90 days from that account opening, GBank's going to give you a $250 bonus. Apply now at vsin.com/gbank. That's vsin.com/gbank. Subject to credit approval. Terms and conditions do apply. This show has flown by. Appreciate everybody again for hanging out with us. One final look at the Masters leaderboard as I refresh the page here. Oh, and Hatton now is 4 under through 12 with a nice little birdie there on 12. So
we just need our top 10, though.
Yep, that's all we need today. That's all we need today. Set the table for a strong, for a strong week. It's a good start here. Colin Morikawa 3 under through 13. Scotty 3 under through 12. And all day long, all weekend long, we're going to have Masters coverage for you. Keep it locked right here on VSiN. Prop Points is coming up after this. Bye, everybody.